God in heaven, we come before you this morning, humbled hearts, dear Lord God, humbled by the opportunity to hear from you, humbled that we were born in such an amazing time, dear Lord God. Yes, there are earthquakes, Father God, there are disasters, there are fires going on, but you blessed us, Heavenly Father. You blessed us. You blessed us. Still a great place to live, Heavenly Father, and a great time to live in, so we say thank you for that. Father, I thank you for pouring your spirit out on this service today. And Father, I lift up this congregation here at New Day, but we also pray for right next door, our friend, Pastor John Boss, and the Corona Friends Church. Father, going the other way, just going east, is Pastor John Sloan, Lord, in North Point. Bless them today, Father God. The Presbyterian Church down the street, Heavenly Father, the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, dear Lord God, the Catholic Church, Father God. We lift them all up to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for pouring your spirit out upon Corona. And Father, we specifically pray for the 90,000 in this city that don't know you, dear Lord God. Father, may you touch their hearts, and may we, as a body, Heavenly Father, be open and ready to receive the harvest. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with that prayer say, amen, 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 amen. Amen. Hey, so today we're going to finish up our sermon series is I Serve. Amen. Say, I Serve. And so, you know, I saw iPod, iPad, or iSomething somewhere, and then one day it just hit me, I Serve. And it's important that we understand that serving is huge. I know some of you know this, but it has to go from your head to your heart and understand the importance of this relative to the body of Christ. Serve is actually one of our core values. In fact, let's repeat our core values. Repeat after me. Say, I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will connect.
I will be equipped.
And I will serve.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will be equipped.
And I will serve.
Now, today I want to put a little different spin on it. You guys understand you all have a gift. Your gift is to be used for the body of Christ. Last week I made mention of a nice, I like ribeye, a steak. In fact, I was in Dallas week before last and went to dinner and with Jessica, our former missions director, and her husband James. They're doing great, by the way, beautiful home. They're in love, and it's just so full of Jesus. I'm so happy for them. So they took us out to eat, and so it was salt grass. Greg knows, he travels a lot. He knows the spots, okay. Saltgrass Steakhouse. So as soon as Jessica told me steakhouse, I knew I was getting a ribeye. I'm in Texas. I'm getting them. Yeah, big rib. Oh, hallelujah. And so that's what I had. So last week, we were in Houston. Went to see Pastor Dan Paray, just encourage him and spend some time with him. And we met a new pastor, Pastor Jay Matthews and his wife, Crystal. Great people. And so we're going to be networking with them also. And they're 2 years old, so they're looking for mentorship. So Jack and I spent a few hours with them. So it was a great trip. But guess what? We went by the steakhouse. Guess what I had? Ribeye. So then the next day, I went with my cousin, and he took me and Jackie out. Guess what I had? Ribeye. Okay, you guys got it. All right. Now, here's the thing, though. When they bought me the ribeye, it was on a nice plate. It was clean. A little garnish, a little pretty stuff on it. And it made it look even more delicious. It was amazing. What if, I used this example last week, they bought it to me on a trash can top. All nasty and dirty. Now, same steak, same cook, same juiciness, tender, all that. Yeah. And some of us, we have to be careful. We don't want to serve our gift that way. We have to have a good attitude. We do. And I know for some, you're like, Pastor, if you tell me to die to self one more time, if you bring that, you do it one more time. Well, right there tells you you're not dead yet. Right there. One of the things we look at here in this house, the house of the Lord. Wait, when you go to your friend's house, I got one. Hallelujah, just came to me. So I'm selling insurance back in the day, and you make your list of everybody you know when you first start before you get all the referrals, you know, and you got to build your business. So I'm going to everybody I know to sell a policy. I go to one friend of mine, a young lady I grew up with. Well, she's old like me now, but. She probably was, we were in our 20s back then. That was a long time ago, 30 years ago. And I remember just being so crazy about her when I was like seventh grade. I was like fascinated. She was my, of course you get older and what. Anyway, get there. And we're talking about the policy. You know, she has three kids. And as she's sitting facing me like you are right now, Elder Joyce, okay, behind her I could see her kids playing. They were the baddest kids I've ever seen. I'm looking at her. I'm like, I'm so glad. Now, go ahead and sign here. I need you to sign this. But I'm so glad. That means, you know what I'm saying? You know, thank you, Jesus, for Jackie. I looked at them kids. And so we make judgment based on children's behavior. You know that. You'll leave somebody's house. I'm like, man, them little bad kids. The comedian, Robin Harris, they're Bay Bay's kids. Some bad kids. And we judge on their behavior. And we make the statement, oh, them kids ain't got no home training. See? Now, what happens when people come to our home? Well, they say, we have no home training up in New Day. So, 1 Timothy is our scripture today, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I am writing these things to you. Now, this is Paul writing to his disciple, Timothy. Now, this is when the church first started, okay? This is about 30-some-odd years after Jesus had gone back to heaven. And Paul is one of the disciples, or one of Jesus's, we'll call him an apostle. An apostle is one that's sent out to do some work. So Paul is raising up leaders. And one of the young men he raised up was a guy named Timothy, okay? And so Timothy is telling Timothy what to do because Paul is getting ready to go to heaven. He knows his time is about up, okay? So this is a letter he's writing, and he's trying to instruct this young guy. And he says this, I am writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon, so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in a household of God. Now, it's been my experience. Now, the blessed thing for me is that my dad was a pastor. And I've given you guys some of the challenges that we faced coming up. And, you know, his behavior, it wasn't always godly and some things like that. Now, honor my dad. I'm not speaking disparagingly. I'm just speaking for clarity, okay? Got it? Now, one of the things, there was just certain church protocols, just certain things we did and didn't do in church. So then later on, I become an adult, and I go on staff in 2006 with Pastor Red Smith. Now, Pastor Red Smith gives out compliments about as often as there is a full moon. Okay, so, that's just Pastor Red. But one thing he said to me, the reason it sticks to me, I think only two times he said something really good. But he said, Tony, one of the things that, stop laughing, Quito, I'm going to tell him. Okay, one of the things he said was, Tony, your church experience is really working well for you here. There was just certain things I knew to do and knew not to do. I knew how to behave in church. Makes sense. Now, not everybody, like my wife, she didn't grow up in church. And even now, she still asks me questions about behavior and how do we do things in church. Now, that's more on the protocol side, on more on the steps, procedures, some things like that. But I want to get into more Christian behavior now relative to your gift, okay? Now, let me read this again, verse 14. I am writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon. Verse 15, so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves or how they must behave in the household of God. Now, look at this part. This is the church of the living God. We need to have a reverence for this here. For some of us, that's because, you know, bless God, we live in Corona. And, I was just praying for the guy next door, okay? That's Pastor John Boss, right over here, Pastor John Sloan. In fact, Pastor John came and worshiped with us when we were in the school. I love all my friends. We know each other. We support one another. That's great. But you can become too familiar. And because we live in Corona, and there's so many churches here, you know, you get a little irritated about something that I said or didn't say. You're like, well, I'm just going over here. What y'all don't know is we be calling each other. Slide over here and we're like, I knew you was coming. Because we have so, and what happens, we are easily offended. So we just hop over somewhere else. And we live in a community. You don't like McDonald's? You go to Jack in the Box. You go to Burger King. Go to Chick-fil-A. Go to Chipotle. Some of y'all know I'm not eating that, though. You step it up a little. Good for you. Some of you won't even do that. You go, there's so many options here. And we never stop to think, how should I behave in church? Because we look at it as like, I need my needs met. Pastor Tony, I don't need to hear that right now. What you don't know is that 3 months from now, you might need to hear what I'm saying right now is going to manifest. And because you get offended, guard your heart with all diligence. Amen. For out of it, it literally means the starting point of your life. And it could be that God isn't letting things go your way all the time because there's some things you need to learn. You really want to know why it took so long for us to go to two services? I didn't want to preach twice in a Sunday. Some of my other friends said, oh, we're going to two. Yeah, good. Y'all do five. I don't know. It was a couple of Sundays ago. I saw them pulling out chairs and all that. I'm like, oh, Jesus, we're going to have to do this, aren't we? But it's not about me. It's not about you. Now, a lot of us conduct ourselves in a household of God the same way we do in secular environments, which is not good. You go off outside of church, and you come in church. Pastor, they don't know. They don't know. You better talk to them, Pastor. And if I don't talk to them, what you going to do? What are you saying? What are you saying? Think about this. I can tolerate that from a 3 or 4 or 5 year old. You're a grown person. You got hair on your chest and everything. Help me. I'm saying, it's amazing to me. I still marvel at that. Grown people. We have to shift our mindset to one of submission. And there's no such thing as submission until there's disagreement. And you got to submit yourself to the will of God for your life. And often he will have somewhere to help you grow. See, we keep wanting to be fulfilled and wanting to be fun and warm and fuzzy. I don't know. I can't even read the Bible and find that. So where do we get this idea from? I don't know. And that's why you have to watch culture. Because every time I've grown and gotten better at something, it's because I went through a process. It's something that challenged me. Look at Luke chapter 9. It's on your handout, please. Turn your handout over. Luke 9, 23 through 24. Now, this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Jesus, who died on the cross. Jesus. This is what he said, okay? And I want you to... He says this, verse 23. Luke 9, verses 23 through 24. Luke 9. This is Jesus. He says, then he said to the crowd, he said to everyone, if any of you wants to be my follower, and we're all here because I know you want to be followers of Christ. I know that's why you're here, okay? You must turn from your selfish ways. Well, Pastor, what way am I being selfish? You know, an offering's coming, I'm giving money, you know, I'm serving my gift. But there could still be something that's self-serving about you. Could be. Maybe you're serving your gift because if Pastor see me doing this, then he's going to let me do that. Well, he let her do that. And I sing better than she does. Maybe she's up here. Maybe you do sing better than her. But maybe God is working out some things through her right now. Maybe that's why she has the opportunity. You ever wonder why we do the 5-on-5s on the fifth Sunday, where the 5 speakers speak for 5 minutes? And some of them, they go over. Some of them, they get close. Some of them are still, you know, the scriptures, they drop their papers. If we don't give them a chance, how will they ever learn? So maybe you do. Maybe you're great. Maybe you're a phenomenal communicator. Hallelujah. I celebrate you. I applaud you. But in this house, we're trying to help people grow and mature. In this house, we're trying to take time to care about people and love on people. And Jesus himself says here, if you want to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Watch this. Take up your cross daily. Amen. Cross represents death. And I cannot physically die, then I'm no earthly good. But there are things I need to die to in my life. Take up your cross daily. Daily. I gotta die daily. Before my feet hit the floor in the mornings, it's like, Lord, here we go. You got to go with me. You want me to present my body as a living sacrifice. Even that is an oxymoron. A living sacrifice is a dead. So I need to be dead. And I can tell you when I'm not dead, when something gets to me, oh, I'm still alive to that. More death. Oh, that got me. Well, it only got me because I'm alive to it. See, if you go kick a dead body, he's not going to feel anything. You guys, you guys like violent movies like me, like car chases and bank robberies and cops getting after the gangsters and the mafia and they swimming underwater to get away from the sharks and then something blow up. I like those kind of movies. I don't care if nobody falls in love in that movie, okay? That's, in fact, sometimes it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Oh, he's going back to rescue the girl. You told her to come on. She ain't listen. Oh, I fallen. You should have taken athletics in high school. Let me. I'm playing. I am playing, Sister Kim. I'm joking. Let me keep reading my sermon. You got to pick up your cross and die daily. When you see them like shoot a dead body or something's already dead, it doesn't. It's dead. One day I'm going to do it. I got one a message in my head about Isaac. Well, Isaac, Abraham was supposed to sacrifice his son. And sometimes we say we're dead to something and we're on an altar, but if it gets hot and we jump off, we're not dead. We're not dead to it. You got to pick up your cross and die daily. The key to life is death to self. Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat goes in the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. I'm not trying to deny you anything. I'm trying to get something to you. The key to everything for your receptivity is death. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Not your ideas, not your culture, not the political climate, not with it. Follow me. And verse 24, here's where we have a problem. If you try to hang on to your life, you see that? Everybody see that? Can everyone just look at me for a second? Life here is a word, psyche, your mind, your will, your emotions. You try so hard to hang on. It got to be like this. No, okay. That's why you're losing your mind. Because you're trying to hold on. You have determined that it has to be just like this. What is a nervous breakdown? What breaks? How does your mind break? Like it's a piece of plastic, some kind of metal that just comes apart, the screws pop out. What happens? See, when you're trying to make something happen, let it go. Because what you resist persists. Wonder why it's still there? Because you're in resistance to it. Let it go. Let it go. If you try to hang on to your life, this is Jesus speaking. He said, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. So you're actually working against yourself. This is what Jesus said. I watch people. I do. I know this is a different kind of church. Because I know what my friends have told me. I was with a group last night. And it's the thing is, give them something light on Sunday morning. Very light. And you give them some deep stuff during the week if you want. Okay, it's cool. And I know that's cool. But it, to each his own. Because I'm not interested in a crowd. I'm interested in your growth. I'm interested in your betterment. I'm interested in your healing. I'm really interested in you overcoming. I'm not interested in you coming. I'm interested in you overcoming. I really am. That's what's important to me. So I know it's a challenge. I don't get on your nerves sometimes. I know I do. I can tell when you text me back some stuff. Yep, I touched the hot spot. But if you give up your life for Jesus' sake, you will save it. So what I'm saying here, okay, about giving up now is really any kind of attitude that's anti-serving your fellow man. Nordstrom's and Chick-fil-A, two great companies that offer amazing customer service. Amazing customer service. My pleasure. Before you leave Chick-fil-A, they didn't say my pleasure like 17 times. I'm going to clean the bathroom for you. My pleasure. I'll grab that for you. My pleasure. But they've been trained to do that. Same thing with Nordstrom's. Brother Frank did a presentation to the men and to the ushers and the greeters a few weeks ago in preparation for two services. And I actually didn't know that story. Somebody bought a worn tire, a used tire, returned the tire to Nordstrom's, took the receipt in, and the clerk there went and got the manager, came, and they said, okay, let's see the tire, sir. Okay, give us the receipt. And they took the tire back and gave the guys money. Nordstrom doesn't sell tires. but their focus is on customer service. Most of you be like, what you doing with a tire, man? What you think this is, Pep Boys? Dude, you can't read, bro, what's up? Look, Nordstrom. Come on, man. Foolishness. Then you get your video camera out. Look, look. Hey, 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 World Star. Look, he's trying to bring a tire back and show. No. I love people. So at New Day, we got to learn to serve well and behave well. Look at Romans 12. We'll wrap up here. Romans 12. In verse 4, we're going to start in Romans. Then Paul is writing a letter to the church in Rome. And he makes a statement. Verses, we're going to go 4 through 18. But the first 8 verses, he's talking about the gifts. And I want to talk about the importance of serving your gift. And then we're going to talk about behaving well while you're serving your gift, okay? Straight from the Word of God. Verse 4, Romans 12, verse 4. It says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. We've covered that for the last 2 weeks. Each of you have a special function or something you're great at doing. Something you do better than everyone else. You're just on the average. Not maybe everyone else, but I mean, you just excel at that. And you can do it blindfolded. You do it with ease. I mean, it's just automatic. In fact, you don't even think about it anymore. It's just such a blessing. You're just great with it. You know, my little grandbaby was singing the other day. She's 3. Press down, shaking it, get right over, run, singing, quoting the scripture. And I was like, wow. And Sister Terry Hines called me and said, hey, my grandson's singing Press Down, Shaking It Together. You know, they're in the same class. Well, that's Minister Monique's gift. That's not Pastor Tony's gift. Because Pastor Tony had all over there some duct tape and some. You don't want me. I'm telling you. So we leave Minister Monique with the children. Keep Pastor Tony with the adults. Hallelujah. I got a special function. I will not duct tape your children, I promise. Okay, verse 5. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. We try to be so individualistic. And I understand what that's rooted in. It's really rooted in the culture of our nation, which happened even as our nation was formed. We were built on independence. We had guys that wanted their independence, and that just permeated our culture. Verse 6, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. How do you do them? You do them well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Verse 7, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If the gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is a gift, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. That's what we do with our gifts. But now let's look at how we're supposed to be, how we are to behave in the house of God. Verse 9. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Don't fake it. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Just don't pretend to love others. Gotta love people. And love is not always just smiling at them. When you guys are the greeters when they come through the door, hey, welcome. That is a big part of it. We want people to feel welcome. We want them to come in. We want them to feel loved. But really, love is when you don't feel like loving. Verse 10, love each other with genuine affection. Real deal. Now, I don't know the difference between a Coach and a Michael Kors and all them purses, okay? But I understand they're knockoffs. What do you call them? It's not bootleg. What do you call them? When it's fake, it's not a real one. Knockoffs? Isn't that another word, y'all? Counterfeits? No, but it's like a cool term. What's the cultural when it's not? It'll come to me, okay? I heard it before. Yeah. It's not fake. It's something else. But love each other with not a fake love, but a genuine affection. And then you take delight in honoring each other. I'm going to stay on that for a minute. You got to honor one another. Honor people. When you see Mandy later on today, hey, Mandy, that was really good. I mean, you and Grace did a great job ministering today. Thank you. I don't know if you guys heard the voices up here today, but Minister Todd, I think that's what you call harmony. Them sisters and Tim, they was flowing, bro. Great job. When they were playing Welcome to New Day, you know, Anthony was on that guitar, and I'm like, Anthony was Jimi Hendrix up here today, boy. He was just a holy Jimi Hendrix. When you can see him say, hey, that was really good. Appreciate that. Yeah, way to go. Way to worship. Let people know. And some of us, we don't, and I know, you know, we do the personality things here so you can understand yourselves. We do. And so you can better understand yourself. And the better understand yourself, the better you can manage yourself. And the better you manage yourself, the more empathetic you can be to those around you. Increase your relationships and make everything flow better. That's why we do that Destined for Purpose course. That's what this is all about. So we can have a healthy body, growing and full of love. That's what it tells us in Ephesians. We can't be healthy if, you know, if one of you has cancer. Okay, this is, I need to do this. Corey, let me use you. Okay, Corey, can you stand, please? Now, Corey's a cell, and this is the body. Now, you're all cells, okay? Corey is a cancerous cell. Corey, can you come here, please? I know this is a bad, no, but I want you to get this. Come here, yeah. Okay, so now this is the thing. Now, you tell me how you want to do this, okay? Now, Corey is a, come up here, okay? He's a cancer cell. Now, cancer cells looking for other cells. I'm going to release you to go find a cell. Go find a cell. Wait. Queen has said, don't come over here. Don't come over here. Come here. Okay. All right. Come here. Come here. Come here. Okay. Now the cancer is multiplying in the body. Now, the rest of y'all getting scared right now, aren't you? Seriously, no joke. Cancer is no joke. Now, this is what happens. Okay, you go back and sit down, Minister Tim. Let's do it again. So you up here. You're the cancer cell. I'm Mr. Surgeon. Do you want me to cut him out the body or just send him to a different part? You ever wonder why I let people go that want to leave here? Pastor, why aren't you chasing them? Because if they don't want to be here, they're not united. You're not one. And bitterness, the root of bitterness, defiles many. So I want to keep the body healthy. Do you see? I could say, now, yeah, if you got cancer in your arm, well, I'm going to just move it over to my knee. No! Because cancerous people are going to be cancerous anywhere they go. Thank you, bro. Thank you. Give him a hand, please. Verse 11, never be lazy, but work hard. You got to work hard in church. You got to work hard in church. And some of you are like, Pastor, yeah, you could be working me. Benita, you know, a lady we contract with to come and help us facilitate Destined for Purpose, she came one, I shouldn't even say this, but she came one day, she's like, you working me like a Hebrew slave, Pastor Tony. Sister, it says work hard. And serve the Lord enthusiastically. Don't be all like, got me on this door again. Mm-hmm. I ain't. When you say I ain't, that's bad right there. When you do I-A-I-N-T, it's one word, I ain't, like, you know, I ain't is bad enough. But when you put them together, verse 12, rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Be ready to help. Well, they ain't helped me the last time. Bad attitude. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Pastor, I can't have a life group. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Pastor, I don't want nobody in my house. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Death to self. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Oh, I know you struggle with that one. Don't curse them. Pray to God will bless them. 15, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. 16, live in harmony with each other. Live how? In harmony. That means I got to get along with people. Well, they just don't understand me. Why are you trying to be so misunderstood? Some people take pride in that. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Well, I can't go down there with them. My wife and I have crossed rivers to get to people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you're honorable. And verse 18, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. This is how we're to behave in the household of God. Care about one another. And for some of you, it's going to be a faith walk. It's going to be a faith walk. I'm stretching you right now. Stretching you right now. sometimes, this is what Jack and I specifically pray. Father, only send those you've ordained to be members and keep back those you haven't. And sometimes when people come in, there's still room for growth in their lives. So I have to be like Jesus. At your company, you would fire people. I can't fire anybody in the church. And we can kind of move and work with them and help them to grow. And if they stay straight out rebellious and don't want to conform, then I will ask them to leave, okay? I will ask them to leave. And you know I don't have a problem doing that. Hallelujah. Bless me. But I want us to be healthy, growing, and full of love. And so we have to develop a culture that we serve one another, care for one another, are mindful of one another, are tenderhearted one to another, compassionate towards one another, forgiving one another, gracious towards one another, merciful towards one another. Bow your heads, please. Thank you.